Hi, and welcome back. I'm Simi Lana, and this is the Judaism From Within podcast. We're going through Rav Hirsch's interpretation, his understanding of kashrus, what's kosher and what's not kosher. And I want to split the discussion today into two parts. One, the preparation before you eat, and then what you actually eat. Putting it in more simple terms, shechita, which is ritual slaughter, and what you can eat, meaning the categories of food that are kosher and not kosher. And once again, like all symbolic interpretations, you have to take it with the mindset or the framing of what the goal of this endeavor is. What I mean by that is that, once again, as we discussed last week, when it comes to food, we kind of feel we get it. So we immediately put our own framing onto it, which is why so often when it comes to kosher food, people describe health reasons and why it made sense from a health standpoint. Because from our framing in the modern world, the reason why we would eat or not eat certain food is because of health. But if you had a different frame, if you had a different way of approaching this topic, perhaps you would approach the actual reasoning differently as well. And to repeat our framing is that the goal of a human being is to transcend his natural environment. Everything that is part of the natural world tends towards its natural state, habit, or more precisely when it comes to the natural world, instinct. The goal of man is to transcend that, and through the transcending of his natural environment, he is supposed to engage in justice, in love, bringing himself towards these ideals in a more perfected way. But how do you do that? You do that by recognizing you are not part of the natural world. You are apart from it. Of course, there are parts of us that are engaged and enmeshed in the natural world, but there is also a part of us that transcends the natural world. This is the part that needs to be cultivated. We call this free will. We call this the aspect of us that is most divine. But if we have to cultivate this aspect of us, this free-willed component of our psyche, of our soul, how do we do that? Well, we do that through ritual. We do that through engaging in the world with certain practices to train, to cultivate our way of approaching the world. Different practices and, well, you could say an ecology of practices. The word ecology is a great word here because it refers to an interconnected system. The Torah gives us different ways of approaching the world, seeing patterns in the world, and then integrating those patterns into our own experience. Things that are relevant to the world, we have to learn, and things that are relevant to our journey and our mission, we have to incorporate. And this takes place through different rituals, through different mitzvahs, and we're supposed to grow through the experience. When it comes to food, this is needed so much more. Because when it comes to food, you're engaging in something that is shared by the entire natural world. You engage in eating. Everything eats, from a plant to a raccoon. Everything eats. Everything consumes, destroys food for the purpose of its survival. So when you're engaging in something that already is tending you towards the natural world, and your mission is to, once again, obviously be part of the natural world, but apart from it at the same time. So when you're engaging in something that is moving you so close to that primal aspect of yourself, how much more so are these practices going to be essential to growing closer to God and experiencing that sort of transcendent mode? And that comes about in two ways. One, the choice of the animal we eat, what we do eat and what we don't eat. And the second of all is how we prepare our food. So let's open up with shechita, the killing of the animal. Now, how do we kill the animal? Now, once again, the natural tendency is to say the reason for it is the painless experience of the animal. Now, putting aside whether that is in fact true, whether it is the most painless or most quote-unquote humane way of killing an animal, I'm putting to one side because I actually don't think that is at all relevant in this context. We're engaging in the killing of an animal. Okay, you're going to eat this animal, you're going to consume the flesh of this animal to allow you to continue. There is something primal there, there is something that tends you towards the natural world. So how do you go about it? And for Rav Hirsch, this is where the conscious, experiencing, free-willed agent's role becomes essential. Because in the process of doing it, you're enacting in a ritual. Once again, something that is purely human. Animals don't engage in rituals, they don't engage in symbols. The way it was put once is that you might have a chief ape, but the chief ape will never have a medallion indicating a symbol of his stature or his authority. This is the purely the human realm. So what do? You cut the esophagus and the windpipe with a sharp knife. And here are the essential components. It has to be done consciously. It has to be done with intention. If it isn't done with consciously and it isn't done with intention, there's a lacking. This is brought out in the sacrificial sacrifice. But even when we're eating, it has to be with a swift, gentle cut. There can be no tearing. There can be no pressure. It all has to be hyper-conscious and hyper-skilled. Why? Because that's the exact antithesis of how an animal kills. An animal tears at its prey. So the tearing motion, if it takes place, invalidates the food, and it's a trefa, and it can only be sold to a non-Jew. Or pressure, once again, invalidates both methods of the animal world in consuming its prey. Both these have to be completely absent from the shechita. So let's focus in on the actual experience of this, because we've discussed the components, the systematic aspect of this halacha of shechita, what can be done, what can't be done, and what it's supposed to symbolize. But let's experience it from the point of view of the one engaging in it, but more relevant to us, the fact that we're eating meat or chicken. Let's think about that for a moment. When I eat chicken, even though I'm not the one who killed the animal, I'm aware of what went into it arriving at my plate. Nowadays, we call it a hechsher, but if we think and we focus and we live consciously, we experience the food we're eating in a new light. And this is something that I really want to lean into. When we eat meat or we eat chicken, let us focus in on what process it took to get it to my plate. And thereby the eating itself becomes different. The respect for the animal, because once again, I'm not an animal, but there requires a process to get this animal to my plate. Not only a process of someone's time, but also in terms of a spiritual intent. There was an immunization, a prequel to this food getting to my plate. I didn't just take it from the forest and eat it, shoot it in the head, and then eat it. No, there was a ritual experience that had to go first, and this ritual experience was the focus of me as an individual transcending the natural world through my free will intention. This was done by the Sheikhet, and thereby when it arrived at my plate and I eat it, not only do I say a blessing, which is going to be another discussion when we get to our Avodah, but the actual physical process it took to get to my plate should change my experience of eating it. It shouldn't just flow into my mouth. I should recognize that what I'm doing here required a process. And this process is due to a recognition that what I'm engaging in is not simple. I'm eating an animal. I'm eating an animal and consuming it into my being. There is something so primitive and primal about that, that I share with the animal kingdom, that requires a pause. Now if we step back, so we've discussed shechita, the preparation before a Jew eats meat or chicken. Okay, so we've got that step needs to take place first, that we have to be aware of that place taking first, that step taking first. You could look at that as the reason for a hechsher on a piece of meat, meaning a basic way of looking at this is that the hechsher is to let you know it's kosher, but perhaps we could reframe that. No, the hechsher is there to remind me that this was done with intention. This was done in a very specifically human way. But if we step back to a more foundational expression of this principle that the non-Jewish world also engages in. This is called eva min achai, not consuming a limb from a live animal. Now, a Jew can't do that, obviously, but a non-Jew is also, within the noachite structure, not permitted to do that either. Now, let's think about it using the same frame that we've just developed. Why? Because, once again, the role of humanity, this is, if we expand out, this is the expression of Shabbos. Shabbos is a expression from the Jewish standpoint that God created the world. I know this sounds like a bit of a tangent, but bear with me. Shabbos isn't the expression that God created the world. Why is that relevant or important? It's because I recognize that God had free will. Creation implies purpose. Creation implies it wasn't by chance. This is a universal. And when I say a universal, Shabbos isn't a Jewish principle. Yes, we are the ones who engage in Shabbos on a weekly basis and have laws that apply to it. But Shabbos as a concept to humanity is a universal. It is structural to reality, as we would say. In which case, this free will that I was developing at the beginning of today's discussion applies to all people, Jew and non-Jew. So when a non-Jew is eating Once again, he has that same danger. He is engaging in a very primal act. He's doing something that he shares with the rest of the animal kingdom, and the need to remember that he is a free-willed being with a mission and a purpose, and he is supposed to transcend the natural environment, not only be part of the natural world, but also be apart from the natural world. But what is his reminder when he engages in eating? Well, that comes about through the prohibition of Eva Min Achai. The prohibition of that even when a non-Jew is consuming meat, he recognizes that this had to be killed first. I am not eating a limb from a live animal, or this wasn't taken off the animal while it was still alive. And remember, that is key in terms of moral education, both for the Jew and the non-Jew, when we engage in eating meat, something that has a danger embedded in it, a risk, and that risk needs to be taken into account. So if we step back and we look at this general picture, this general conversation, we've learned a couple of principles. First of all, eating meat isn't simple. It's not obvious that, oh yes, of course you can do that. It's something that should be treated with respect and a certain amount of trepidation. The consumption of meat in the Jewish tradition isn't something that you sort of gorge yourself with. There's even a principle from our sages that a person who is an Am Haaretz, a person who doesn't recognize what he is engaging in, he shouldn't eat meat. There is a certain risk to it. And we can understand this, that when we see people consuming meat in a very animalistic way, there's something very dirty about it. There's something very almost embarrassing for them about it. And this is what the Torah is trying to stand against, that when you're engaging in eating meat, you should recognize that there is a process that has to come first, be you Jew or non-Jew. From the Jewish standpoint, it's shechita, that free-willed intention being essential halachically to your ability to eat it. What the Heksha testifies to, that little symbol testifies that this was done in a very specific, conscious, free-willed way by a free human agent. With subtlety, with skill, with sharpness, and at the same time, without tearing, without pressure, these principles were absent before you eat, to recognize that it is a separate experience from the animal kingdom. And with that, you eat. And within the non-Jewish world, the same universal principle applies of the importance of our free-willed nature. And thereby, Eva Min Achai is a forbidden act before you eat your food. And these come together when we eat meat. And I think the experience of eating meat will be a more profound one when we engage in this reflection. As always, my thanks to you for listening to the podcast. And hopefully next week we will continue this journey.